And it's going to be on. No, in all seriousness, and I started to take a screenshot because you see the title of today's teaching is Music to My Ears. And I'm like, this is confirmation. Because Brother Jerry, he sung a song and I was trying to write down the lyrics, but the verse said something, 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 something. And it said, and it sounds like music to my ears. I said, okay, all right, that's confirmation number one. And then the first song was talking about, the second song was talking about doing what?
Jesus.
Yes. Talking about communicating or crying out to Jesus. So Lord, thank you for the confirmation, doing praise and worship. Thank you for your word that I'm going to deliver and present this morning, going to teach this morning. We thank you for your Ruach spirit, your spirit that heals, your spirit that confirms, your spirit that affirms, your spirit that it does what it's supposed to do. And we thank you. We just thank you for the Holy Ghost this morning. It's a special thanks for the Holy Ghost this morning that continues to lead us and guide us every single day. Forgive us for not calling on the Holy Ghost or taking advantage of your spirit. Jesus, you said, when I leave, don't worry. I'm going to leave my spirit with you, guys. And we will, from this day forth, we will take advantage of your spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I don't know why I'm on the Holy Ghost this morning. Maybe I'm Pentecostal today. Can't you get on the organ? Because maybe that's what we're going to need today. But guys, I want to talk about music to my ears. And this DEI series, diversity, equity, and inclusion, but we flipped it a little bit. Did you enjoy the teaching last week, past 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Clap your hands. Yeah. Thing was on point. And so DEI, our way is we're dreaming. Martin Luther King, he had a dream. We're still dreaming. Dreaming, expectation, I forgot what the I stand for, but today we're going to talk about music to my ears. Everybody say music to my ears. 1 Chronicles 5:20 says, read it with me, they were helped in fighting them. Everybody say they had help. And God delivered the Hagarites and all of their allies into their hands. Now in a second, I'm going to talk about who the Hagarites were and who were delivered into their hands, all right? Because they cried out to him. Everybody say music.
Music.
Music to my ears. All right, because they cried out to him during the battle. He answered their prayers because they trusted in him. 1 Chronicles 5:20. But I want to lift today, and I want to focus on the word cry. Everybody say cry.
Cry.
God delivered or help the Hagarites because they cried out to him. They trusted in him. But you probably never thought that crying could be a weapon against the enemy. So we should consider. So I guess apparently I'm either talking about food or I'm talking about firearms. So guys, we should consider not just carrying a Colt 45. We want to make sure you have your cry. Make sure you are carrying a cry. Everybody say cry.
Cry.
Or in the Hebrew, it's called Shiva. Everybody say Shiva.
Shiva.
Shiva in the Hebrews means a cry for help. Everybody say Shiva.
Shiva.
Or Shava. Maybe it's called Shava. Everybody say Shava.
Shava.
And so I am asking you guys to consider or embrace this morning Shava. Everybody say Shava.
Shava.
So perhaps when we cry out to God or when we cry, it's music to God's ears. It's something about a cry. Everybody say something about a cry. It's something about a cry. Because to me as a producer and a musician, when I hear somebody crying or I hear a cry like at a funeral or if you've ever been grieving, you can grieve anywhere. It can hit you at any moment and you hear somebody grieving. To me as a musician, I don't hear just a cry, I hear notes. I hear the rhythmic aspects of a cry, the tempo or the cadence or the arrangement and pitch from crying. And so you can almost say that crying has this musical aspect to it. Because it's not like talking. Crying is it's musical. Everybody say, music to my ears. So some people, when they cry, it has actually vibrato. All right? And so it's a cry. Y'all know what vibrato is. Don't throw tomatoes. I'm going to demonstrate vibrato. Don't throw tomatoes. And the hope of the brave. You can clap, though. Super Bowl is over. What a boring game until the overtime. Super Bowl was boring. But some people, when they cry, it has this musical aspect, and you know it's musical, and the vibrato aspect of it is shaky, because vibrato means a shaky note. Everybody say a shaky note. So perhaps when people are crying, the note has vibrato because life can be shaky. Life can sometimes cause you to cry. So when you hear the cry, it's obviously reflecting life sometimes. So check that out. Also, when somebody cries, the pitch is irregular. It's not predictable. It's shaky. It fluctuates. And I'm not trying to pick at people when they cry, but perhaps we hear agony, but perhaps God hears music. It's agony. It's like, I don't like funerals. I don't like to hear people cry. I delayed going to my twin brother's viewing because I didn't want to hear everybody around me cry. Because I didn't want to hear that sound. I didn't want to hear that. But perhaps we hear agony, but God hears music. Amen? So you hear the fluctuation in pitch when people cry because life can be shaky. Life fluctuates. So perhaps that sobbing or that irregular pitch is reflecting life. Even the size and velocity of your tears can influence the pitch of the tear when it hits a surface. So imagine your tears, you probably never thought about it. If your tear actually finds its way to a surface, it actually creates this melancholy type of percussion vibration. Everybody said music to my ears. So guys, be reminded this morning that God sees and hears your tears and your cry. Have you ever thought about your tears actually has a sound? You can see tears, but your tears actually has a sound. So to humans, a cry may make you cringe, but to God, it makes him care. 1 Chronicles 5, it says, read it with me one more time. So 1 Chronicles 5, verse 18, 19. Ready? Y'all ready? Y'all good? I got my nephew this morning, so if y'all don't talk back to me, he got my back. He beat me last night in basketball, so he got my back. We good? Amen. We good? Oh, he older now. He giving thumbs up. He used to talk back to me. Ready, set, go. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had how many men? 44,760 men ready for military service. I'm reading like I'm up north today. Y'all catch me. They had 44,760 men ready for military service. These men were just not men. They were able-bodied men. Everybody say able-bodied. Who could handle the 9mm? The sword. The Bible says they could handle the shield and the sword. So they were actually good on the defense and the offense. Amen. Who could use a bow and were trained for battle. They waged war against the who? The Hagrites, Jatar, Naphish, and Nodab. So just a little backstory here. So you have the Reubenites. Everybody say Reubenites. Reubenites. They were part of the tribe of Israel. They were not all of the, they were, this is only, I'm lifting only three of the 12 tribes. And one of the tribes is a half tribe. Okay. So a little background. Moses said, you can live over here on the east side of the Jordan. So this land was lush, This territory had basically could accommodate all of their stuff. Commercial break, but in Greenville, it seems like they're building houses, apartments, and everywhere. See, we're just talking now. Is this happening in your city? And they are building storage buildings. But imagine this area that the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, this area, it was able to accommodate all of their stuff. It was all of the cattle and basically it could accommodate all of the tribe. So they were living good. Black History Month, so it's coming in this teaching also. Everybody say they were living good. And so my question is, why do you're living good, everything is great, life is good. Everybody say life is good. Malaysia just said earlier, life is good. I mean, the spirit, she came up here, either she got a raise this week, she passed her test, or I don't know, maybe she just got peace. But everybody say, life is good. You have the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They are where they're supposed to be. They have this upward mobility. They, in the house they're supposed to be in, the house is paid for, the car is paid for, and now come some haters. Everybody say, haters? But the Bible said that 44,700 men were commissioned to wage war against the Hagarites, Jetar, and Naphish, and Nodab. So you have 44,000 able-bodied. The Bible says able-bodied. Everybody say able-bodied. Able-bodied means strong. Everybody say strong. Trying to paint a picture. Everybody say they were able. Everybody say they were efficient. So able, but not just one, not just two, 44,000 strong, efficient, even wealthy. One translation is translated from a word that actually means wealthy, well-to-do. And so actually they can become confident in their own ability. But the Bible says that they, if you can go back for me, Sweets, they actually needed help. You have 44,760 able-bodied men who were strong, efficient. They still needed help. And so the takeaway there, guys, or a warning. Everybody say warning. We cannot let our ability or gifts become a distraction. Your gifts are from God, but your gift is not God. Your gift is proof of God's goodness. Just like I'm not picking at you, Malaysia, but her testimony is proof that God exists and that he is good. Anybody else have a test? Anybody else can say, you look at me, you're going to see God's goodness. I don't care if you're 16 or 60 in this room. Everybody say, look at me, and you will see God is good. Everybody say, look at my bank account. I know y'all don't want to say it, but say it in faith. You're going to see that God is good. Even if it's in the negative, if you're watching online, God is still good, even in the negative. Amen. So our proof, though, is proof that God is good, but it's also proof that not by my might, not by my will, not by my own intellect, not by my own strength. Everybody say, not by my own strength. Everybody say, I am proof that God is good. So it's about, you got to be careful that proof don't lead to pride. Everybody said, don't let proof lead to pride. You have 44,000, over 44,000 men that needed help in a battle. Let's read it. 1 Chronicles 5:20. Ready? Read it one more time. They were helped in fighting them. And God delivered the Hagarites and all of their allies into their hands. Because they did what? They cried out to him during battle. He answered their prayers because they trusted in him. How does over 44,000 able-bodied men quickly need help? Again, perhaps because of pride. 44,000 plus men, strong, efficient. You couldn't do it. You couldn't finish the job. So perhaps because of pride and overestimating themselves, and they were actually outmatched. They were outmatched. But imagine 44,000, over 44,000 men going into battle, and your calculations were not right. So it's actually the Holy Ghost that they discovered quickly that they needed help, so they actually did something about it, and they cried out to God. Yeah. Now, 44,000 able, everybody say able-bodied. These were, if you will, 44,000 plus Hercules. So how does, what's a good wrestler's name? Give me a wrestler's name. I don't watch wrestling. Give me a good wrestler name. Oh, you went way back. Who was that again? Ric Flair. Yeah, you went way back. Woo, who? The Rock. Let's come on up to my generation. I don't know who they watching right now. Imagine 44,000 The Rock crying out to God. Now, how did that sound? Now, if it's bad enough, it might have been deep. God, I need your help. But I've seen some things in life bring a strong man down to his knees. I've seen it, and it could be humbling. It could be embarrassing. I'm coming down in weight, but I'm still over 200 pounds, and I could be macho sometimes. If I want to cry, I'm going into the other room so you don't see me cry, because I'm the Rock, and the Rock don't cry. Amen? Men don't cry. We don't cry. We let the ladies cry. We're going to take care of it. Over 44,000 able-bodied men had to cry out to God. And I wonder what the lady said. Rock, stop that crying. But all the muscles. You got an 8-pack. You got muscles. What you doing all that crying for? Stop that crying and pay the bills. Imagine me going to my wife and saying, baby, we ain't got it this week. I don't know what's going to happen. I've been working 40 hours. She probably would have stopped that crying and get another job. And I said, right, because I'm a man about it. That's what men do. We take care of it. Amen. Who messed with my daughter? Who messed with my niece? But even strong men, good father, maybe I should have saved this for Father's Day. It's kind of creeping out right now. Even strong men, we need help. That's why we have to rely on God for help, even if we are gifted. Mother's Day. Now it's Mother's Day because many of us are gifted to cook and mother our house. Even if we're gifted, we have to humble ourselves and let out a cry. And Shiva, remember Shiva, Shiva, Shiva. Everybody say Shiva. Shiva. Hebrew word for cry. It also means to shout out to God about what's bothering you, your issues, what you need from God. Try Shiva, because it's not the Bible, but somebody, I've heard somebody say, they say it a lot, closed mouths. Closed mouths don't get fed. So we do have to humble ourselves even when we're gifted men, even when we're debt free. Thank you, Lord. You still have to humble yourself and cry out to God. Amen. Psalm 9:12 says, he forgets not the cry of the humble. It's one thing to cry, but when you cry, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of being vulnerable. It's a sign of, man, I ain't got it. It's a sign of, I'm not doing okay. You can go to God and say, I'm not okay. And that statement is not, it's okay to not be okay. God came up with that first. He says, come unto me, ye that are what? Weary and what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God says it's okay not to be okay when you come to me. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. And so I'm excited because this month It's Black History Month. And so we know that people of color here in America, we have come a long way. Clap your hands for that. We've come a long way. To me, having an African American as a president was futuristic. To my nephew up there, it's a thing of the past. He doesn't know what it's like to live in a world where we didn't have an African American as a president. So we've come a long way. And so he sees the world differently than us. Have you ever thought about that? He is used to diversity and inclusion. He is used to playing with his friends that are different races and speak different languages. He knows a little Spanish. I didn't learn Spanish to high school or whatever. And so these kids are coming up, they're growing up exposed. But one thing's for sure, that we know it was God and the Holy Ghost that helped our ancestors overcome. Make no mistake, it was the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? It was not by their might or their power. They had the help of God Almighty. Amen? They had the help of, so we know that prayer. Everybody say prayer?
Prayer.
Everybody say prayer works?
Prayer works.
We know they fasted. You know they fasted by default. They had no food. So they had to fast. So all of these disciplines gets God's attention. Guys, if we're not fasting in the room, first of all, when we fast, the Bible says don't tell nobody anyway. So when you're fasting, don't say, man, I'm fasting today. You're not fasting. Once you say that, you're not fasting. Because the Bible instructs us not to tell people when we're fasting. Wash your face. Get that hunger look off your face is what the Bible says. Don't tell people when you're fasting. Let God get the glory, because really when we say we're fasting, we want to let people know, yes, we're, you know, you're trying to elevate your own might and your ability. But when you're fasting, it is definitely a sign of humility and a sign that God, I'm going to get this flesh under control. And that gets God's attention. But have you ever thought it's something about your cry that will get God's attention? Remember, today's teaching is music to my ears. Everybody say music to my ears. Everybody say music to my ears. Babies even know this. And they use it to their advantage. When they cry, what happens? The whole room stops. The entire restaurant stopped. Not for right reasons. I wish she would stop crying. I'm trying to get this steak in. Why did they bring this baby to this restaurant anyway? But at least it works, because when crying actually gets attention, in our case, from God Almighty. And I'm not talking about whining either. I'm talking about this legit cry that gets God's attention. Let's just make sure that you let me know I'm not making this up. Have you ever cried out to God and he answered your cry? Just clap your hands. It's a survey. Which is Shiva. Everybody, Shiva. So what if God sees Shiva as a distress signal or a distress call? How dare we need help and we don't Shiva? Alpheus. You need help and you sitting there because you're used to taking care of it and ignoring God when it was God that gave you the strength to take care of it in the past. Look at somebody and say Shiva and let God deal with it. So Shiva means a cry for help, a shout. Psalm 34:15. When you Shiva, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. So when you're right, it gets God's attention. So that's one way to get God's attention. Be right. He is attracted to right. Amen. Yes. Be right even when nobody else is looking. Amen? Amen. And his ears toward their cry. He is listening. He said, ain't nobody crying. He's not bored. God really, I don't know what God is doing. But because he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He can sit still and go everywhere. Amen? Amen. He doesn't have to even think. He never asks a question. He never wonders. He never says, nothing ever occurs to God. But the second thing that gets God's attention again is a cry. He said, ain't nobody crying out to me. He's listening. He said, where are the people? What? They read in my word that when you cry, I move. I'm going to move when you cry. The Haggites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab could be considered in modern times. I want to lift this up because it's Black History Month and many of our students don't know, they don't have an appreciation for where we've come from as a people. And they will never know if we don't tell them. Amen. Amen. They don't need to be proud in what we're seeing in hip hop. Amen. That's not where we came from. We didn't come from a tribe that killed each other and shared each other. This crabs in the bucket. We were wealthy. Everybody say we were wealthy. Smart. When you eat a potato chip, go to the red light, wash your clothes, sit in a folding chair. Everybody say that's our people. Everybody say that's our people. So the Haggites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab, again, you have the half-tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites, the Gadites, they chilling over here. And now you got these haters over here. They cannot stand to see a group of people doing well. And so that's why they had to wage war against the threat. So they say, you ain't taking my stuff. Look at everybody, just speak to the enemy and say, you ain't taking my peace. Say, you ain't taking my joy. And say, you ain't taking over my family. You're not doing it. And so we got to get bold like the half tribe of Manasseh and say, devil, not today. But in the spirit of Black History Month and educating the next generation, it almost reminds me of white supremacist group that tried to take from African Americans in 1898 in Wilmington, North Carolina. Raise your hand if you've never heard of that. It's called the Wilmington Massacre because they wanted to keep this group from progressing more in life. Black History Moment. And so similar to the Haggites, Jetur, Nadab, and everybody else, they just couldn't stand it. Don't you hate it in life when you have peace and people are trying to interrupt your peace? They just can't let you just have a day off. What you doing Saturday? Nothing. Well, can you come? I said, I'm doing nothing Saturday. It's a me time. Click. Period. You got anything on your schedule Saturday? No, I ain't got nothing on my schedule Saturday. You said it. I didn't say it. Click. What he said. So, again, Black History Month. Love it. Rosa Parks, what was your Shiva? What was your cry? It was a cry for justice for all to be able to ride the bus in peace and choose any seat. Her no cried out that day and it started a revolution. Amen?
Amen.
Little research, I didn't realize that, first of all, when you see it should be Lady Rosa Parks. She literally kept this calm, assertive vibe about her in every interview. She said, I wasn't scared. I just know I had enough. And I'm not going to get all, like, when she started to serve Dr. King's vision and work in his organization, perfect match. Because Dr. King stood for nonviolence. He stood for nonviolent retaliation. Amen. This passive-aggressive type of posture where I can get things done and not have to show out like that. And it worked. Look at us today. Clap your hands. Rosa Parks, your cry. We're still benefiting from your cry. When you cried out to God and he heard you. It wasn't even this, I'm sitting here. That wasn't her posture. I can't even see her do that. She said, first of all, she said, I'm sitting in the color section anyway. And so why do you want me to move? I'm actually following the law and you're going to lock me up? Misnomer, she was locked up for sitting in the colored section. Did you know that? I know. So it was a report. She said, yeah, everybody's reporting the wrong information, but I was sitting where I was supposed to be. God did that. I love it. Harriet Tubman, what was your Shiva? What was your cry? Harriet said, my feet cried every month. She said, my feet cried. My feet cried and it cried and it cried and it cried and it moved until slaves, hundreds of slaves were free. Look at somebody and say, let your feet cry. In other words, stand firm in your convictions. Amen. Let your yea be nay, your no be no. If God told you to do something, do it. Amen. If it gets bad enough, sometimes you just, anybody ever, it's been so bad, you just, that's all you did. You just. Prayers, I'm serious. I know many of us in this room have just, like, my goodness. God hears that cry. Amen. Prayers are answered when trust is activated through the tears of supplication. Everybody, now I'm a musician, producer, so I can't help it sometimes, guys. Everybody's cry has a key signature. Basically, it's a certain key that a song is in, a certain key that a piece of music is in. It has a time signature. I believe everybody's cry has a time signature. What do I mean by that? Everybody say key signature. Mean pitch. Everybody say time signature. The beat, dot, ducka, ducka, dot, ducka, ducka, dot, a time signature. Be encouraged in this room, or if you're watching online. You may cry today, but God doesn't answer until next year. Everybody say, time signature. Your time signature may be 6-8. Your time signature may be 2-4. My time signature may be 3-4. Sometimes signatures and BPM. Everybody say BPM. BPM. Beats per minute. Marty helping me preach today. I love it. Your BPM may be faster than mine. And that's how God sets it up, because when your breakthrough is here, we celebrate you. Because eventually we're going to celebrate your breakthrough and your breakthrough and your breakthrough. Amen. I'm almost finished. Y'all okay? Dr. King, what was your Shiva or Shava? Shiva. Dr. King cried in his sleep and he had a dream of liberty and justice for all people. Mahalia Jackson, Dr. King, tell him about your dream. Tell him about the dream. Dr. Dream cried was in his sleep. Anybody other than me ever woke up crying? You're like, how in the world is this happening? You woke up with tears in your eyes. God said, you know what? You're going to be macho. I'll catch you in your sleep. You can't control your sleep. You wake up and you're like, oh, what in the world? You're waking up and the whole crying feeling is, God said, I'm going to break you down. You're going to cry out to me one way or the other. God says, I don't get any gratification out of rocks crying. But I'll use them if I have to. If we don't praise them, if we don't cry out, the rock's going to cry out. Dr. King cried in his sleep. Slaves, what was your Shiva? They just simply wanted to be relieved. They just wanted relief. Everybody say relief. Anybody need relief in this room? Relief from social media and all the drama on social media. Relief from CNN and all the drama on CNN. Slaves just wanted relief from the abuse, the murders of family and friends. It was a liberation cry. Psalm 145:19 says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, he also will hear their cry and will save them. A couple questions, guys, and I'm finished. Do you know how to cry? Do we know how to cry in this room? Do we not know how to cry on call? Do we know how to be aggressive when crying? What do I mean by not a defensive cry or a reactive cry? I mean a proactive cry. You telling me to get sad and cry? No, I am asking you to consider to shout out to God ahead of time, before you have a need. And if you have a need, let's humble ourselves and cry. Cry out to God. Shout out to God. If tears fall, so be it. I ain't got it. God, I ain't got it. I ain't got it. He says, music to my ears. I ain't got it. And everybody else leaving you by yourself to cry. You ain't got no, why is that 240-something pound man crying like that? I'm gonna let him, you have at it, sir. God says it's music to my ears. Plus, God really likes it when he gets you by yourself. Amen. Everybody else don't need to see your deliverance anyway. They can't handle it. Amen. But guys, there's victory when we are vulnerable. When we're vulnerable. Men and women and children. If you know how to cry, you know how to win. I'm telling you what I know. You're not a wimp when you cry. You're a winner. Amen. Thank you for telling me to preach, because I'm done preaching. Y'all clap your hands. Clap. So, guys, as you're standing, I don't know what it is you need to cry about. We are giving you permission today, this week, the rest of the year, to be a crybaby. Consider being a crybaby. You are not getting on God's nerve by being a crybaby. I promise you. You're not going to wear his patience. You're not going to get on his nerves. Amen? It's not going to happen. Even when you're anxious and you're kind of like, what in the world? Like, how is this going to pan out? College students, grandparents, fathers, nieces, nephews, aunties, uncles, those of us that are on medication, amen? Perhaps we're one cry away from not taking medication. Amen? We're one cry away from our marriages going to another level. Us married folks in the room, sorry, single folks, let's cry with our spouses. We have an advantage. Sorry, single folks. I'm coming down your street in a minute. We can cry. I almost want to get the married folks to couple up, because it is love month. Amen. But we can cry on each other. Single folks, you ready for it? You have to come to my marriage conference, and we'll give it to you there. I'm just kidding. God is the joy and the strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me, never ever come short of his word. I got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way, keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far and I never turn back. Say it with me. God is. Just lift it up. God is. God is. That's a music cry. God is. God. Shout it out. God is. God.